You tell me what you want to, what you are interested in. I don't know. I have not.
I think Richard, and whatever, everything you said, that's marvelous.
I have not prepared anything that is all for my memory. And, it might be good, it might be bad, I don't know.
Well, if we have lots of questions, perhaps we can just call you back sometime.
Are you ready now?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I wanted to say is, I made it a point that many people think the rocket engine is a whole propulsion system, and it is not. It is a very essential and a very important part, but there are many, many other aspects equally important, which cannot be neglected in the rocket propulsion system. And I try to illustrate this. Then, where thermal engineering was extremely important was in the orbital restart of the J2 engine, again on the S4B. You know, they run up to evaporation all these ground tests, and you cannot simulate orbit. It is extremely difficult. Furthermore, on the ground, you have still this atmosphere. And if you are not careful, this atmosphere that cools, you know, and you don't see it. You don't pay for it. And in orbit, you don't have this atmosphere. And what happened? First of all, we insisted that we run our tests in, now if I say so, I might incriminate some people, but I don't give any names. First of all, we felt that we should simulate orbit in the Tullahoma test facility. We turned down. And then we had to prove it, I guess, for 3 months. Presentation after presentation, and then finally we succeeded. And sure enough, we put the J2 engine in the Tullahoma test facility. Are you familiar with it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know that you can fire a J2 engine with a vacuum up to so and so many thousand feet.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we find? We found out that the crossover duct, now heated, or there was heat soaked back over there. And during restart, the oxygen pump, or turbine first, got more energy than intended or designed for. And if you do so, then you change during the startup your mixture ratio. You get more oxygen into your in your gas generator and in your gas generator mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And this increases your temperature, so you exceed the upper temperature limit. And if you do so, then you burn up your turbine blades, and there is no second start.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found this out. And then, of course, after you have this proof, then you can sit down, and then the contractor, of course, then they analyze it. They should have done this before.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, because they were confident that during the tests on the ground, they never run into a problem like this. So an engineer must never be overconfident. He must always be suspicious. He must be skeptical by profession. Otherwise, it's
mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to say is that the thermal properties, and the whole propulsion system, from the lowest temperature region, or realm, you know, close to zero, up to the highest temperatures, which can be handled at the present time technologically, you know, they play a very important role. And regardless of which new project comes in, you know, always the temperature, even on the LRV, you know, the temperature control, the astronaut faithfully brushes off the radiator and then turns around and brushes himself off and brushes the dust back on the radiator again, you know, which causes these low temperatures and the missing TV after takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature problems. This aspect is extremely essential and important. And it is not normally, as a rule, realized by, except for the few people who are intensively involved in solving all these problems and analyzing these problems.
Did you get involved very much with insulation problems then, too?
Oh, yeah. We call it the high temperature heat protection. And the lower end, the conservation of hydrogen, we call it cryopropellant preservation. So, yeah, we do this too. Yeah.
That's great.
And I think we are on the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was curious about the difference in design, if you want to comment about it, between the S4B, which had the internal insulation, and the S2, which had the external.
Okay, I can show it to you. That is a daily evaporation loss of liquid hydrogen storage tanks. And the hydrogen evaporation in percent per day is shown here, and here is the storage volume in liters. So if you have a container, let me say, 100 liter, and you lose 1%, then it's here. If you lose 10%, it's here. If you lose 100% per day, then it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Can you follow? Yeah. Now you asked about the S4. The hydrogen loss of the internal insulation on the S4 is 0.9 here. In orbit, it is down here.
Mm.
And on the S2 stage, with the external insulation, the helium perched foam on the S2 stage on the ground is here. And the NEPCO spray foam insulation, we consider this on the ground because the altitude is not high enough,
mm-hmm.
the pressure is too high. It is here. Does this answer your question? With other words, the S4 on the ground would have an evaporation loss of over 100% a day. The S2, there's not much difference.
Yeah.
Huh? It's also 100%.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit better. Whereas in orbit, the S4B, now this would be, in orbit it would be better too. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
It has 10, I would say it is probably 15, around 15 or 20% loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now you asked what we are doing in insulation. We just tested a few weeks ago this 105 inch in diameter liquid hydrogen storage tank. It has 10,000 liter, a little bit more than 10,000 liter capacity. And you see, it is less than 1%, it is 0.3% a day. So in 30 days, you would have 10% loss. That is for the orbiter.
Excuse me, going back here to the S2, there's a problem because you really don't consider it loss in an orbital mode.
Now, let me tell you. This insulation was not available at the time this stage had to be built, 10 years ago. This insulation was not available. And for the time being, I think, you must say that if you are on the ground, you can always replenish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short flight of 5 minutes, doesn't amount to anything. I think it was adequate.
Yeah.
It was very adequate.
Mm-hmm.
But the improvement from here to here, if you show it on a log scale, it's peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Of what we need now.
Mm-hmm.
Now
but
I should not interrupt you. You asked
the
question.
But the S4B was a little. Can you say that the S4B was more efficient then?
No, because on the ground it was even. Yeah, see. Well, you see, it is actually we are nitpickers.
Yeah.
It
okay.
Was marked.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I would say the S4B and the S2 were the state of the art and of equal quality.
Yeah.
It served the purpose.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at, I guess.
It served
the
purpose.
Yeah.
But now, the requirements are greatly increased and
mm-hmm.
are much tougher. These insulations for orbital storage would not be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, we have been able to reduce this by roughly 2 orders of magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. You see, in a storage container, the surface, the volume, the surface area, the volume, changes with a third root of the volume.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take the word.
In other words, what it means is, take a sphere. If you have a small sphere, then the external area is relatively compared to the content.
Okay.
If you have a big sphere, then the volume it can hold increases faster than the surface. So, for a storage container, a big container is always at an advantage. And I have shown this by plotting in here the 1/3 power of the volume. You see? With other words, if you take this volume here and go through three over here, one, two, three, And this line would come from here to here. With other words, if you have 100,000 instead of 100, then your loss comes down by the third root of 1,000, which is 10. And that is exactly what it shows here. With other words, what I should not do, I should not compare the loss of a small container with that of a big container.
Okay.
I have to normalize it. And this is what these lines do.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt, but we've run over our time, and we also have another interview.
Okay.
Interview with Siebel.